Hey everybody, this is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. It's June 9th, 2016, and I am joined here by none other than our Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn.
Hello everyone. It's been quite a long time since we've recorded, I think.
It has been a very long time. There is a lot to cover.
Yes.
And so, there's so much going on.
Always is.
Not like lately. It's been just such an overflow of things coming up and going on. It's nonstop, even more so than usual.
Yep.
So let's jump right into it. We're very backed up in our game releases that we've mentioned on these podcasts.
Yeah, since we haven't recorded since May the 6th, we've got like 5 mystery games to go
through. Wow.
So we're going to go all the way back to May 9th. Our mystery game was Moon Shuttle.
Really great game.
Yeah. I thoroughly was enjoying that game. Like, I really got into it. But Gores won the night. He beat a score that had a world record from 1982. He beat it in one day, which I think is incredible. Yeah.
Well, and I think some of those scores from back then have stood so long just because access to the games have been just non-existent.
Yeah, where can you go to play it, right?
Moon Shuttle was definitely, it was a Nichibitsu.
Yep.
And definitely not one that a lot of people knew of or heard of. Somebody just, actually, John Haruza, the Marathon Man, had called me up and said that somebody was selling a pack of games, and that was one of them.
Cool.
And it was definitely a cool game. Ours is now it's an original dedicated cabinet. A little rough, but
three-way stick. It's kind of an odd thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first one I've ever seen.
Second one that I have.
Okay.
It's a really cool game, and I'm glad that you really got into it. And it was definitely James was into it for a bit, and
Gores was really into it. Like that night, first night, he stayed for a long while playing it.
Yeah. Well, Pete was really ramping up then for the 10X championship belt, so
yeah.
I think he just, anything we put on the floor, he was
just going to gobble up and
laser focus.
Yep.
But definitely Moon Shuttle, great game.
Yeah, Peter Gores' score that night was, I want to say it was around, I don't know if that's correct. I see 35,730, but that might be his top score on the game. I think his score on the game that night was around 32 or 33,000, but either way, he beat that score from 82 in one night.
Yeah.
So congrats to him on that.
Very big, very big news whenever a score from the early 80s goes down.
Yep.
Next game that we got was Left 4 Dead Survivor.
Yep.
Which, that was another one of those. I had heard rumors that it was out there, and you had worked some magic. Yeah, it was cool. It's been fun giving you guys some project games to go after, and so cool to see you guys able to track stuff down like that.
Yeah, this one we had imported. It was in, there was a guy in California that I've been dealing with. His name is Casey. Maybe some people know him, but he's on the Shmups forums a lot. But he's been helping us get some of our newer games, so shout-outs to him.
Absolutely, absolutely. It arrived in excellent condition. It's actually came out in 2014 on the Taito Type-X 3 hardware, which was a little concerned about it that at first, because most of the Taito Type-X 3 stuff runs on the NESCA system, which is a Japanese-based, server-based system, which...
constantly updating, always, like, downloading new levels and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really the one questionable thing on that. A lot of stuff left not unlocked on ours. Still really cool, based on Left 4 Dead 2, according to Jeremiah and Pete Gores and
everyone that knows the game.
Yeah. Really cool mouse in kind of like a Wiimote style.
Yeah, it looks
nunchuck.
Like the nunchuck with the knob on it for your movement.
But yeah.
Yeah, it can supposedly controls really well.
It does.
But it actually has like a Razer gaming mouse on the actual game.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Very unique cabinet. Very unique cabinet.
Yeah, I love the strobe effect above the cabinet. Like it looks like there's like a police car driving by on top of the cabinet.
Lots of cool LED lighting going on that one, and definitely a great addition and definitely very unique. Pete Gores took that one as well. That was his 9th trophy.
Yep.
At the end of the night, he had 1,930 points.
Yep.
That one was definitely... It's a little difficult for people come to the arcade to just, like, jump in on it just because it is all in Japanese. So if you come in and you need any help navigating the menus and stuff, just ask anybody at the counter.
Yeah, there's actually certain menu options on this game and another game that I won't say just yet, that if you choose them, the game will basically freeze because it's trying to access the Nessica system.
Yeah.
And you can't because it's not online.
Fortunately, on Left 4 Dead, I don't think there's any... dead menus you can go into.
Okay, good.
There's just a lot of stuff.
I thought I ran into one, but maybe not.
There's a lot of stuff that's not lit up.
Okay.
But, yeah, definitely ask us, and we'll be more than happy to help you through it.
Cool.
Very cool zombie-killing action game.
Yep. All right, next up, we had on the 23rd of May, The End.
Great game from Stern.
Yep.
That was one that... Jeff Lucas brought in for us. There's another one that John was here that day, and he kind of negotiated that deal too.
Cool.
Original dedicated cabinet.
Yep.
Matt Walters had requested that one quite a while ago.
Oh, after playing it at FunSpot, I think,
he played it at FunSpot, yeah. And that was... He came up, and he's like, see if you can find this one.
Mm-hmm.
I had a marquee and PCB... sitting around for a long time, and I just couldn't find the right cabinet to put it in, one that was going to be really fitting of it. And then this Jeff one? Just came in and said he had one for sale.
Very cool. Yeah, that game is pretty tough.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is.
It looks simple, but it's tough. I mean, and then I know there's two versions of it, too. There's a Konami version, right?
Yes.
Okay. But we have the Stern one where the letters, or the blocks are beneath you, and the Konami one, the blocks are above you, your ship.
Yes. So
that's how you tell them apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely some cool scoring tricks in it.
Yeah, if you let the guy steal the block and shoot him, don't you get more?
Oh, yeah.
What was he saying? Yeah.
Well, there's a way to get him to stop shooting at you altogether.
Right.
That's the big trick. But, yeah, you can kind of get points if they have blocks with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty interesting game. It's definitely very hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm hopefully people will go back to it.
It's, yeah, no one's played it since Mystery Monday, so it's kind of, I mean, no one has put its score since Mystery Monday. I shouldn't say no one's played it, but
yeah.
No one's tried to increase their score.
Well, there's been a few games. It seems like with so many, it's kind of the downside to putting up so many really solid titles in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We had, like, Sega Week. Everybody was super excited about Fantasy Zone. We just recently upgraded our board to be the standard scoring system instead of Time Attack, which we had in Sega Week.
Right.
Now we have... That was on the Sega System 16B board.
Yeah.
And now we have it on the 16A board. And it's just cooler to have the original scoring set up.
Yeah, I think that then you can compare yourself to all the scores you see online and stuff, so that's cool.
Absolutely.
Has anyone been putting any scores on that since, or no?
We haven't seen one score go in since since we put the new board in, unfortunately. Such a cool game, but yeah. Hopefully everybody gets back to it. Mm-hmm. But with so many new good, amazing games going up, it's understandable.
Yeah, I guess. I'll give them a break. Cool.
End of night for the end. Again, Mossy's.
Yep.
Agopian took that one.
He self-proclaimed himself the stalwart of Stern that night. And he had 36,130 on the end by the end of the night.
That's awesome. Yep. Very good score. He also put the brakes on Pete's hopes of winning the belt that night.
Yep. He could have won that night. Pete was, a few thousand behind him, though. So.
Yeah.
All right. Then next week, the 30th of May, we unleashed a beast.
Darius Burst, another EX, another Chronicle.
Yep.
Which was, honestly, I do not understand why that game was so difficult to get. It was like a year and a half trying to track one down.
Yeah.
And I think we lost out on about five of them. It was like they were all, we had the deal done five times.
Yeah, even the latest one, I remember you saying like the seller backed out even after you paid, which is like, well, that's not right.
Well, we had paid and waited about 8 months.
Wow.
And it was the same seller we got a couple games from. We got Castlevania from and Silent Hill. And then I found out on a forum that our order had gotten left out of the container.
Great.
And,
a bad way to find out.
Yeah. It was that. It turned into an odd situation. We were refunded our money and everything worked out fine. But we had one in Michigan. We had one in Japan. We had one from this other seller. And it just unbelievable. Couldn't it just couldn't get it.
Yeah.
We had actually, and we still do, have a kit version of it, which is two monitors, the double
control panels,
double two-player joystick control panel setups.
All sand, smooth as butter.
Oh, it's so nice. Mm-hmm. The cabinet is huge.
Yes, it is.
It arrived by FedEx, mm-hmm. and this was another one. You worked your magic on this one,
too. I'm really happy I was able to help get this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't take all the credit, but it was... The game is so much fun, and I think everyone's enjoying it. Like, there isn't a time where, like, someone's not on it, it seems. Like, you try to play a game, and there's, like, a group of people on it. Like, the co-op is a lot of fun. Yeah. Playing for score, single player is a ton of fun. Like, I'm just really happy we have this game. I'm a huge fan of Darius, if you didn't know.
Me as well. That well, was...
You know, but...
yeah. It's such a great game. Visually... Like
the sound? The I feel songs. Like singing opera music when I'm playing that game.
Yeah.
I think you've overheard me singing under my breath.
A time or two.
Yeah. It's a little fun.
Such a great presentation. I think the fact that the cabinet is so massive, it's an instant draw to anyone. And the fact that it's the EX version.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yeah, the EX version adds four ships that weren't in the original Another Chronicle. Which is, you can play that original Another Chronicle at a couple locations, but the EX one is really the one to play for competitive play.
Yeah.
It adds a whole new harder path, like hard, exceed, and extreme. There's three new paths you can play.
I thought exceed was the hardest.
Exceed might be the hardest, yeah. Extreme and then exceed. Yeah. So there's three new paths you can play, and there's four new ships that aren't available on the normal Another Chronicle. So there's so much to play. There's even if you beat the game, just pick another route, pick a different ship. There's so many combinations.
Yeah. It's been hard for me. It's like, man, I can't even find my favorite ship yet. And it's a lot to choose from. I know Jeremiah has been going through all the ships, too.
And yep. It's like picking a character in a fighting game, almost. You don't know which one works best for you.
Yeah. Definitely great to see people jumping in on it. Again, there's... It being all in Japanese, often we have customers locking the game up. They try to go into an online mode, and that basically will just freeze everything. At that point, we have to go into the test menu and exit out again just to kind of reset it. So if your question about what anything is, always go with what the default option is, or...
The upper left or the lower right, like the two options on the left, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Upper left and lower left, those are the two, normal and exceed.
And if you... Nothing on the right, ever.
Yeah. Don't choose those.
Don't choose that.
Right is wrong.
Yes.
But, so who ended up winning that one?
That one ended up being Pete Gores, and that was...
That was his number 10.
That was number 10. That won him the 10X championship belt.
Yep.
Which was really cool that we have those two belts now.
Yep.
To have out. You hold one, being the Gamer of the Year.
Yep.
There's also, to me, there's all sorts of possibilities with that. I'm thinking maybe we'll have you two
square off.
Square off.
Two Pete's or, adventure, one Pete leaves.
Yeah, Highlander style.
All right.
Or maybe have you guys team up and take on some of these other guys, or
okay,
do some team fight or something.
We
don't know.
We
maybe
should do a two-player Darius stream one time.
What might be cool is to have you each make a team of four.
Yeah. No, he would be on my team. I would choose him as my.
Well, that's what makes it good.
Yeah.
If you were split up, you're the two best on it.
For now.
For now.
Yeah. Could be anyone though.
For sure,
yeah.
But I think there's some definitely some interesting things that can happen with these two belts.
Yep.
So these two Petes and their belts.
the score he ended up with on the first night of playing it was over 120 million, 120 million and some change, beating the ADA Trout, which is the top path, using the ship called Second, which is the Darius II or Darius Twin ship, which has like these huge bullets. It's got a massive multiplier that doesn't require any beam or burst. It just has a high multiplier and super strong shots that come out like, and they hurt. You just stand next to the boss, let it rip, and you're good. But no beam, so you have no beams to protect yourself. So you just gotta fly right, don't get hit. That's the strategy.
That's always a good strategy.
Yep.
Well, again, really great game. Released in 2011 on the Taito Type X2 hardware. We have the so awesome to have an original dedicated cabinet for it.
Yeah, I love the fact that the lights right up when the bosses come. The red lights come up above. That's one of the best parts of that game.
I think we have the music too low now.
We have some complaints.
I think it was too high initially.
Yeah, it was a little high initially, yeah.
Really, just so cool. That was one of those games that I know the Game Grid out in Utah had it.
Yes.
And I was always like, man, what a cool game.
They had the English one of the Another Chronicle. I think they have videos on their YouTube as well of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Definitely go check it out over at the Game Grid out in Utah.
Cool.
Cool. Then the following week, Pete was awarded his belt, and we released a highly requested Marble Madness.
Marble Madness. On June 6th, we released that. For some reason, this game gets people mad. I think a lot of people were raging on this game.
Oh, yeah. It is it's frustrating. It seems like it would be so easy to get into. Mm-hmm. And I know so many, even myself, I played that a lot on
NES, right?
On the NES.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating back then, and it's even more frustrating with a trackball.
Yeah.
And huge shout-outs to Doug Fox. It's on... he had to do some board work on that one. Mm-hmm. It took quite a while to get that one up and running.
I remember seeing the cabinet back there like a year ago by Seth's like room.
That we had it on the floor at one point.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I was slow... like, just empty.
Oh, okay.
I had picked up a System 1 board and then the game board around the time we got Roadrunner.
Wow, okay.
So that was a while ago. Well over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And was just slowly piecing it together. Got a glass marquee for it, control panel overlay, new side art. And then was getting that piece by piece. Actually, the side art was the last thing that I put on pretty much the day that we were releasing it.
Cool.
Seth wired it all up. Huge shout-outs to Seth Young.
Absolutely.
For doing all that he does to keep everything running here.
Wizardry.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. So who ended up winning that one? Oh, wait a minute. It's Pete again.
Pete Gores again.
He's clinging to that belt. I don't think he wants to let it go.
Who would?
I wouldn't.
I think he's after your belt.
Maybe.
Game of the Year belt.
He might be able to... Can you win that through treachery, or does it have to be taken legit?
What do you mean?
I mean,
can he hit you in the face with his belt and take yours?
Yeah.
I guess he would have it. I don't know if he would be the proclaimed Gamer of the Year.
Okay. All right. Then I'm okay. He may knock me out, but at least I'll still be Gamer of the Year. Yeah, he might be shooting for that. I don't know.
Well,
a lot of signs point to him right now.
It's still months away. We've seen Massey's win a lot of tournaments. We've seen Jamie Tibbetts do a lot of great things. You're still putting up massive amounts of score. James White has been doing some awesome stuff still.
There's a lot of new players, too, like Brian Shillow.
Brian Shillow.
Yeah.
Eric Kim.
Yeah, Matt Kavanaugh's been doing some work, yeah.
It's
good.
It's a...
I think it gets harder and harder every year. Like, people get better.
For sure,
I think the challenge of becoming, picked out of all those people will get harder. I'm glad I got picked when I did, because it would be harder.
Everybody seems to have breakout years. Like, it's everybody's still a contender. It's just about focusing, and it's scores. It's where are the scores that you're taking fall into place, and so many elements Gamer of the Year.
Cool.
You know, and you know one of those things that I totally dig seeing?
What's that?
We just had Combo Breaker was recently.
Yeah.
And now the MK Dan came into town.
From Luxembourg.
From Luxembourg.
That's cool.
And Sean Quigley goes out and picks him up from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
Like, how standout is that?
Yeah. That's just, that's being a good community member.
Absolutely.
And that goes into it, too. Like, I know that's one of the things you told me. Like, you know, you said I'm a good advocate, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I remember you,
I got MK Dan the first time.
You got MK Dan the first time. Right. There's all these things that factor in.
Yeah.
So, we like definitely look for that and all good stuff, so.
Cool. Well, that's all with the Monday Mystery Games. We just had a new game hit the floor just now, though.
Yes. And that is Namco's Filios, released in 1988 on the Namco System 2 board. This one never had a dedicated cabinet, didn't have a U.S. release.
Okay.
Took me...
So when that happens, that means it usually just ended up in a candy cab, like in a Japanese place, right?
Well, even then,
yeah.
They were releasing the game in Japan. There was like the Atari System 1 cabinets were out there. So it was basically designed to be used as a upgrade for a game like Dragon Spirit.
Yeah, that was a couple years before then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dragon Spirit was like 86?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 87.
Okay.
86, 87.
The game reminds me a lot of Dragon Spirit, by the way.
It does. Yeah. It definitely takes it a step up. There's a ton of rotating and scaling and scrolling
that effects rotating, going on. When I was watching it, I was getting dizzy already. I don't know if I can play this one. It looks awesome, though.
It feels very much like Assault and yes. Dragon Spirit
yes.
with a Greek mythology style.
I'm really excited to see what our players can score on it.
I played that so much on the Genesis, and it was a board that, again, it's not on Orcade. According to KLOV, there's only two people with the board.
So would you consider this a grail find?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. It was definitely a... I was looking for it for years and never saw it. It popped up on auction in Japan,
mm-hmm.
and we managed to get it. So I was pretty happy about that, and just wanted to get it up for the weekend. We had an amazing day yesterday. We had a group of, like, we were having a really good day to begin with, and then
a bus emptied out in front of the arcade with like 90 kids on it.
Yeah,
not kids. It was like a youth group. There were like 12 to 15 or 16.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, they just poured into the arcade. It was crazy. But cool.
Excellent boost for the day. So yeah. We're a little tight on room, but yeah, we'll throw an extra game out for the week. And
yep.
Honestly, I just want to play it a little bit tonight, so that's why it went out tonight.
Cool. All right. Well, that's it for the Monday Mystery Games.
Don't miss next Monday.
Yeah,
we're gonna have another one. It's the start of Shmups Week.
So, are we gonna be releasing our Monday Mystery Game right at open then?
Yes.
Like with Sega Week, we did that where we announced all of our new games right at open. So, if you're here at open, you'll have a first dibs on the new game as well.
Yes.
So, if you can get here right at 1.
And we'll be doing another live stream
yep.
To unveil it, so should be fun.
Cool. More on the Shmups event in a little bit. We'll talk about that.
Yes.
Cool.
But, again, it's been a while since we've done a podcast. We have a plethora of scores to cover here.
Yeah, I'm going to go through these with you here, and I apologize if I miss anyone. Funspot had their BroFest tournament, and that kind of obscured the scoreboard, so I may have missed some. I tried to get everyone who either set a house high or world record. So please keep that in mind. If I miss you, it's nothing personal. Just remind me next time you come in, I'll give you a free drink. If I miss you. Maybe. It's a good score. All right, first off, all the way back on May the 6th, we have Fred Oakes with a new house high on Peter Packrat.
Yeah.
And I know that the 10 Pence Arcade didn't like that game. They called it something else, but I won't say what they called it.
Peter Packrat?
Yeah.
Awesome game.
Another
great game.
Okay. I don't know. I think it's funny because like you're bringing a bunch of stuff back. I think it's like you with the arcade. Like you're bringing a bunch of games in. You're like Doc the Pack Rat for the arcade.
I don't see the correlation of that at all. But
well, yeah, Peter Pack Rat, I guess, collects garbage, and our games are not garbage. So yeah, it doesn't quite match up. But
So the new house high. Anyways, the new house high is 643,030, set by Fred Oaks.
I watched him play that game. There was Fred, when he was here, he was playing Indiana Jones,
mm-hmm.
and there's a guy playing Tutankham right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
It was getting pretty late. I think it was like 10 o'clock on Saturday, and Philip Ahn was just here,
mm-hmm.
and he left, and I'm doing a walk around, and it's like, oh, Fred Oaks is here. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just some crazy scores going on. It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah, he's good at a bunch of, you know, a bunch of classic games. He's really easy. He has our house high also in God Plus.
Yeah.
So he's good at a bunch of stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, next up we have our very own Mike McCarthy putting up a new house high in Bloxseed, beating all the Sega Week scores.
Yeah.
It was 197,490. He did that on the 7th. Congrats, Mike, on the house high.
Yeah, congrats. I think that was probably a hard choice for him because...
it was only worth like 20 tokens.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't usually go for anything less than getting top place in a game that has 100 and some tokens.
He's like the high-hanging fruit kind of guy. Yeah. He likes that stuff.
Then on the 9th, you did a world record run and 1cc on Fighters History Dynamite.
I love that game.
It's so good.
Yeah.
You had asked me for the original a while ago.
Yeah.
And... very happy that we got Dynamite. That was pretty fun. You got 750,750 points.
Yep.
But you didn't get to the Ox yet.
I have not gotten to the Ox. The Ox evades me. Because I you have to beat the game without losing a single round.
Yeah.
And I've lost like two rounds getting up to the last guy. So maybe one day. We'll see. I don't know.
But now you're on Darius.
I'm on Darius, yeah. If anyone starts challenging that score, I'll go back to it. But for now, I probably have moved on.
Yeah. That's a solid score. It'll probably stand for a while unless somebody like Norbert Vale comes in or Davin Lowe. We haven't seen him in a while.
That's true.
Hopefully it comes up.
Yeah. Norbert was just in yesterday, though.
Yes.
The other day. So. All right. Next score up, we have a new house high by Joe Rainboth on Rally X, 90,600 points, which is an incredible score.
It is.
He had beaten Joel West's previous house high, which is like 80-something thousand.
Yeah.
So that's like a... a house high and a good scalp to have if you're going to collect scalps. So congrats to Joe. All right, now on the 12th, we had Norbert. Speaking of Norbert, he had a new Fist of the North Star score, 3,878,400. And I think that's a 1cc also. I think you have to 1cc to get the good scores on those games. So congrats to Norbert.
You know, I think the first round, I think they're getting... like 2 million points on the first guy.
It's all perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect and super, and so I think there's a lot of room left on that game.
Okay.
So,
we'll see. It's been sitting there for almost a month now. We'll see if I think Eddie and John were interested in looking at that one.
Yep.
That weekend, the 13th, we had a visit from a gentleman named Dale Eli, and I had the pleasure of recording this run and verifying it. Our new world record in Vulgus. And that record had stood since 85. And he decimated the record. The record was around 800,000, a little bit less than 800,000. He put up 1.13 million.
Yeah.
So he's gone further than any other score has in that game. I checked, you know, the Mark Mame Action Replay site, like, he was on that site. Like, I was looking at scores, like, what's a good score in this game? I really want to know. I looked up there. He had the top score on that, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's a guy named Dale that is good at Vulgus on MARP. Oh, that must be him.
Yeah.
And I asked him, and it was him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. You know, you get to see people, what games they like, and they're all over the internet for it. I checked on the Shmups forum. He runs the high score thread for Vulgus on the Shmups forum.
That's awesome.
So I posted his own score in his own thread, so he was able to see his good work.
And that's kind of going back to the end. That's, like, it's cool to have the... MARP score, but like, how cool is it to have
the arcade
score. Have the actual arcade score?
Yeah, to me, and that's cooler.
Where else can, like, Vulgus, amazing game.
Mm-hmm.
That was a game that we got in our first batch of games that we picked up in Iowa, mm-hmm. and such a cool game. And it's so unfortunate that you never get to see it.
Yeah,
but very cool that he came here.
He's been out here a couple times, this Dale gentleman, and I think he actually recommended we get Rumblefish, too. That was one of his recommendations.
Dale, huge thanks to him. He had made several suggestions, and for our fundraiser, he made a donation and requested a couple of games, and
that was one of them.
That was one of them.
Oh, that's a great request.
So was Fighters History Dynamite.
Oh, I need to thank him, then.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Huge thanks to Dale. And congratulations for putting up an amazing scar in Valgus.
Yep. And that video is on the YouTube channel, same channel as the podcast. So if you want to check out his run, it's on there.
Excellent.
Cool. All right. Now we are up to May the 14th. We have a new house high on Mr. Dew by Bruce Widmer. 965,850. That's a pretty huge score, actually, for Mr. Dew. congrats to Bruce on that one.
Yep.
Coming up next on the 15th, Samurai Showdown 6. You have swiped the world record from Jeremiah's clutches.
Yeah.
Jeremiah goes down is in my little notes here on the side. I know that Jeremiah was joking around. He's like, oh, so I have to play that game a second time now?
I was not proud of that one.
Yeah, because you have to break the AI, basically, to get that score.
It's not even breaking the AI. It's, well, there's not much AI for the character that I was originally using Haomaru, and you actually had to play the game.
Right.
With the character I use now.
Like, they don't even block the move half the time.
No, they don't even know what's going on. They don't know how to deal with
it. It's like the AI was not programmed to deal with that character almost.
No. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah said that, and as I recall, I think he spent some time on that. I think he's exaggerating on how easy that score was.
Yeah.
But,
do you foresee him getting that back?
I don't think he cares about it. Oh. Like, I don't, it's basically at that point you have to get pretty much all perfect.
I was watching you play it, and you had like 10 out of like 14 perfects on the run before, and you didn't get it.
Right, yeah. Right. Plus supers.
Yeah.
Of quick time.
Yeah, so this run must have been better. I didn't see the actual run, but I saw one of the ones leading up to it where you missed your MIS score by like 800 points.
Yeah.
And it was nearly perfect.
Well, you have to also get, there's festival, semifinal, final. There's a few bonus fights that you have to get.
Yeah, and you miss that, you're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you have to do really well. The last one is hell, and you have to just basically perfect everything.
Okay. Cool. All right. On to...
Also on the 15th, Austin Swan was here.
Yes.
And, man, it's so awesome watching him play Mad Planets. Great Gottlieb game. He put up a new house high
of
258,596.
I think he's since increased that, actually, to a little over 260.
Yeah.
I think he's got the top score on Orcade now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Yeah,
so he's
beating
all the scores on Orcade. Is he shooting for the world record on that?
I'm sure he is.
Okay.
It's really cool. He's, how old is he?
I don't know. He's pretty young, though.
Like 11 or something.
He can't be older than 12 or 13 at the max.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
between 11 and 14, I want to say somewhere in there. And just taking on this classic game and putting up an amazing score. So congrats to him. And I hope he goes for the world record.
It's going to be a bit harder. It's around 500,000, I want to say.
It's over that.
Is it?
Okay. It is. But his score keeps going up. He's playing it.
Cool.
I think he wants one for his house, too, so he can practice.
That'd be good, yeah. It's a unique game where playing in MAME won't do you any help. You have a dial and a joystick, so you can't really practice that anywhere but the actual arcade machine.
True.
Cool. Well, good luck to Austin in that. Hopefully he can get a higher score if that's what he wants.
And then Pete Gores strikes again, taking down, I think, Brandon had the house high.
He had the house high before,
Lucky and Wild, but Pete also broke the world record in Lucky and Wild. Pete Gores.
687,860 points, and that world record had stood for over 15 years.
That's amazing. So, it was set in like 1999.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yep. I always see him on there. He's playing that game. Sometimes he'll do two player runs with others, and it's cool to see him. Everyone, you know, I think everyone enjoys that game.
It's just a genuinely fun game. Easy to get into.
Yep.
You got to make sure you shoot all those barrels.
Yeah.
Like you got to get off the gas sometimes and
that's
take
the
your
key.
Time. It really
just
is.
Just hold
it
up. Really there's no there's no rush.
Yep. But then you, same day. Oh no, this was the next day. May 16th.
Yes.
You put up the new world record in Moon Shuttle.
Yes.
Taking it from Pete Gores.
Yes.
With 38,680.
Yeah,
That game is not my typical.
No, game. That definitely seemed out of the box. And I know you're still working on your out of the box challenge.
Yeah.
With your special Primal Rage
reward. Yeah.
So, congrats on that.
Maybe that'll count towards.
Will, absolutely. Okay. That, Sinistar, all those count.
Cool. Yeah, if Moon Shuttle, like, if you haven't played it, give it a shot. If you mess up, it's a quick game. You know, even my highest score, that game lasted all of, like, 8-10 minutes. Like,
yeah.
It's such a tough game that even if it's a bad game, if you throw it away, just start a new one. You'll die in 3 seconds anyway.
Yeah.
But great game, Moon Shuttle. I love it. All right. On the 18th, we have Peter Gore's increasing his own Galaxy Fight score, 24,100.
I don't think that's gotten much attention.
It hasn't been challenged yet, so we'll see if it stands once some of the others dig into it.
Yep.
But congrats on that anyway. We have a new house high in Red Baron from Sebastian Bartlett. This gentleman traveled from out of town, put up 35,300.
Yeah.
So he was really happy about it. He took a picture with his new scorecard in his hand on Facebook. It's cool when people get into their scores that they get.
That was like a cross-country trip that he took.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep. He was really happy to see all the games we had here. His whole family was really in love with the place. So it's cool to see.
Absolutely. Then you were back hard at work and took back the back-to-back world records. You did on the 21st, you took Mutation Nation.
Yes.
Which James White held that before.
I probably know exactly where he died because I was getting to the same place every time.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is dumb. I'm going to maim this. I tried one more time and I got it. So
it was
I think I got to the fourth level. He must have died right at the third boss.
Yeah.
Like where I was dying every time.
Me and James are going back. It's a fun game. I'm surprised that more people don't play it.
I like the juggles. I like fighters who can juggle people. Like me being like ex-fighting game person, you know, I like when you can juggle people in a fighting game.
Sure. Knock them into each other.
Yep.
And you got 355,100 points, so congratulations in that.
Thank you.
For those that don't know that one and want to check it out, it's in the Neo Geo section. Go check it out.
Yep. Definitely recommend that one.
Then you took another beat-em-up.
This is just an increase of my own. I already had Captain America.
Yeah, you did that at MGC.
That's the one where I originally, did at MGC.
You increased your world record and did the 1cc. You upped Captain America and the Avengers on the 24th to 862,802 points.
Yep.
So congrats on that. That's an awesome score.
Thank you. Next up we have James White, the Prince of Puyan.
Yes.
He's self-titled himself there. I think our gamers like self-titling themselves. But anyway, James put up a great score, 409,950. And he's having a really good back and forth with Jamie Tibbetts on that, so we'll see if Jamie strikes back, the Revenge of Tibbetts.
Yeah. I know he came in, was it on Mother's Day, and was streaming Puyan?
He was, yes.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, he streamed it, and I didn't tune into the stream. I had other stuff going on, but it's cool that when you want to stream a game, just let us know. Like, almost any time is fine to stream. Like, honestly, if you just let us know, give us a little prep time, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Cool.
Then you were back at it again on the 29th. You put up a new house high in Nemesis.
The Nemesis, which is Gradius.
Gradius.
Whatever you want to call it.
532,500 points.
Yep.
And you got to stage 4 of Loop 2.
Yeah. I was really happy about that score because Loop 2 gets pretty insane. Like
it does.
Our board is set to medium settings, which is not what most people play on. Most people play on easy, which is like defaults everywhere else. But it's like, it's even harder with the medium settings. And Brian Shillow had beaten my score originally. We didn't announce it because we hadn't done a podcast in so long.
Yeah.
But then he got to the second stage of the second loop, and my previous score I had gotten just to the first stage of the second loop. So he had gotten further than I had gotten and got a better score. So I want to give him a special shout out for looping the game.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yep.
Congrats to him.
Yeah.
And congrats to you.
Thank you.
Then we had a Stephen Lucas visit. He put up two new scores. He got NAM 1975. With a new world record that he set on the 29th, he put up 328,700 points.
That's where it stood for a while. That's one of our first world records that was set here, I think, also.
Yeah, that was Matt Rocco.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Then he also put up a new house high in Polestar with 252,400 points.
I think he's getting to the third level.
Yeah.
Either he beat the third level or he's just getting to the third level, but I think Peter Gores had previously held that. I'll be interested to see if he tries to get that back.
Yeah.
But for now, Stephen Lucas, he put up two house highs while he was in town. He's got a bunch of other scores that I'm still adjudicating. I don't think he has any more house highs or world records, but it's always nice to see him jump up and, you know, put up more scores when he's in.
Yeah. Awesome. Always awesome when he comes in.
Yep.
Like, you know, he's here for scores.
Yes. He's down for business.
Yeah.
Cool. Next up on the 30th, we had a new house high by Josh Heraut. It's on Magical Drop 2, 187,702. Congrats on your new house high.
Yep.
Also the same day, Phil Fenton was in town.
Yeah.
He's from Wisconsin, actually. He put up a new house high in track and field. It's an incredible score of 89,250, which our house high was held by the actual world record holder before, Hector Rodriguez. And Phil had beaten his score by just a couple hundred points. It was 89,050 or something like that. It was barely, he beat it, but it was just squeaked by type of thing. But it's really cool to see that he's giving the world record holder a challenge.
Absolutely.
So maybe at some point he'll be able to challenge the world record.
Really, really cool when Phil comes out too. It's cool. He gives us a heads up when he's coming and
he lets us know what he's looking to play. And,
yeah.
You know, we're ready for him, and he always does great things when he's here.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Then James White, June 1st, putting up a new Aliens world record, 308,700 points.
Do you know if he beat the game?
He did not once he see it yet.
No? Okay.
He still says there's some room and he's got to kill
the alien queen. Okay.
I hope he goes back on that one. Like, that's one I would like to see somebody get the 1cc on.
Yeah.
It's really a cool one.
I was going to say, there's been a decent amount of back and forth, but it's all like a few thousand points. It's not going much further. I wonder if there's like a big bonus when you 1cc it.
I don't, off the top of my head, I don't even know.
I'll have to ask James.
Yeah.
Maybe he knows. Next up on June the 6th, we have the Don, Matt Walters, increasing his Don Patchy score. He's now at 17,523,450.
Matt's been coming in a little bit late. Right around the time that I'm leaving, Matt will be coming in.
Yes.
And I can't leave while he's playing. And I'll go over there, I'll see him, he's playing.
Just
and I just,
him.
I have to watch a game.
Because
it's just so amazing watching
even
him.
Even his bad games are fun to watch.
Yeah.
He's like, this isn't a good scoring game. But it's still fun to watch. You're dodging a million things on the screen.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool to watch someone that knows that game.
Yeah. Huge shout-outs to former Game of the Year Matt Walters. We're very happy that he's coming around a little bit more. And definitely, we'll see if he can hold on to the title of the Don.
Hold on to his Donship. I know that Fred's been inching up. Fred is at 16 million now.
Yeah.
He's really close. I know they were making fun of Jamie and gave him a third place ribbon for being in third place in that race as well.
Yeah.
But I do like the competition. I like theatricality. It's always fun. Speaking of Jamie Tibbetts, Shmup and Master.
Yeah.
He beat me. He took one of my scores.
X-multiply.
He X-multiplied my sadness. No. No, I'm not sad about this. He got 5,528,700 in X-multiply, which is an incredible score.
Yeah.
It's a great score.
But he did it with the board not glitching.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not to take anything away, but...
No, we kid. It's a great achievement.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like... That was another one I was watching you play that. I haven't seen Jamie play it, but I know that's a tough game.
Yeah.
And there's some definite bottleneck points where if you lose your power-ups...
You're just done, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The recovery's a little bit easier than our type, but I think it's a better balance game than our type because you can recover in a lot of places in that game, and our type, you're just done, you know, when you die.
Yeah.
So it in some ways, I like it better than X-Multiply. It's same company, it's Irem.
Yep.
So if you haven't played it yet, try X-Multiply next time you come in. Try to take Jamie's score.
I know I was... are you going to try to take that back?
If I am, it's not going to be for a bit. I've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm in the process of moving, so like if I do, it would probably be down the road, but I'd like to. It's a fun game. I'd like to get back to it.
Yeah. Cool.
Just because I want to doesn't mean I can do it either.
Sure. Well, hopefully, even on Monday, hopefully Jamie will come in and try to up the score or something a little bit.
Yeah. Cool. All right, next up, we have Norbert Vale came in just yesterday, put up a new Rumblefish 2 score. 947,450, and this time he did get the 1cc.
Awesome.
You can watch his run on YouTube. It's on the same channel as the podcast. And he is at, I think, there was a decent bonus for beating it, because I think he jumped over by like 100,000 points over the next score.
Yeah.
So maybe there is a 1cc bonus.
Very cool. Congrats, Norbert.
Yep. All right, next up, Peter Gores. We've said his name a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
He's got a new Darius Burst, another Chronicle EX high score. He's got 140,411,350. That's on the upper route, ADH, using second ship, which is the Darius Twin, Darius II ship, which the score he beat was actually, I think I had 134 million before him, and before that he had like 121 million. So we've been like kind of just slowly inching it up.
Yeah.
So I think both of us have been trying the harder routes lately, but yeah. once we get back to maximizing the easier routes, I think that score's going to go up again.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yep.
It's definitely a score that'll be changing again.
Oh, yeah. It's such a fun game, so I'm sure we'll see others jump in on that as well.
Maybe
some of the shmuppers coming in.
Yeah, the shmuck week coming up. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people playing it.
Yep. So that's all we had for scoring. I mean, that was a lot of scores.
Definitely. Again, all of our scores, if you want to check them out, they're all on Orcade.com.
Yep.
If you want to register,
it's free.
Doesn't have to be a world record or a house high, even if you want to just do personal score tracking. Orcade, you can do it through there.
Yep.
AURCADE.
I'll link our location scoreboard in the show notes, and you'll be able to see like where the house highs are for all the scores, and you can click on the games themselves and see where all the scores are for our location.
Yep. And if you're an arcade, like, hit us up. We'll totally help you set up so you can get your scores tracked through your arcade on there. Definitely, the more people submit in scores, the better.
Speaking of arcades, isn't Pixel Blast opening soon?
Pixel Blast, which is very anxious for them to be opening up.
Soon?
Yes, July 1st.
Cool. I'm going to try to make it.
I'm going to try to be out there July 1st.
Cool.
I just was talking with Brian Colon.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to try to be out there July 1st.
Nice.
So it should be a really good event.
Cool.
Happy that Trickman Terry,
yep,
and Paul, they really seem like they're doing a great job, and can't wait to see what they do with their place.
They really seem like they know what they're doing.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm wishing them success.
Yes, yes, very much so. I cannot wait to run some events with them for sure.
Okay.
Maybe we can get a Battle of the Arcades going again.
Okay.
That'd be all right.
That'd be cool. All right. So now we have some special events and announcements coming up.
Oh, actually, before that, one thing we were just talking about.
What happened?
I saw an article that you had posted on, before we get too far away from scoring.
Okay.
You had posted an article that you wrote on Orcade.
Yes. It was an interview.
Yes, the interview with the new world record holder in Galaxian.
Yes, David Line. He was known as Charlie Farr. That's his gamer tag, gamer handle, whatever you want to call it. He was nice enough to answer some questions for me, and it was like an interview-style question, and it's on the front page of Orcade. Just go orcade.com. It's the first thing you see there. And he was nice enough to tell us how he prepared for his almost seven-and-a-half-hour Galaxian game. You know, what he plans to go after next. You know, he's really approachable, easy to talk to. He sends in his scores to the 10 Pence Arcade podcast. I knew of him beforehand by listening through that podcast, so it's really nice to see someone that you've heard of and you've seen their progress or achieve their goal. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
So congrats to him.
Yeah.
2,000,000 points was the score he set on Galaxy.
That's crazy.
That's insane. Yeah.
I remember that's uninterrupted.
That's 4 lives and you're done. You start with 3 lives, you get 1 extra life, and there's no time for breaks.
Yeah. I remember Walters, and who else was playing with him? Was it?
It might have been Rocco.
Was it either Rocco? Was Tibbetts playing?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember there was a big back and forth in Galaxian here for a while. And
okay.
Just, what a difficult game.
It is, yeah, it's very unforgiving.
Yeah. And thanks for you interviewing him and putting up some extra content on Orcade.
Yeah, for sure. So. It's something I enjoy doing, just talking to gamers and, you know, from everywhere and seeing, you know, what got them into games, what they're going to play next. I like finding out that information, yeah. sharing it. So hopefully there'll be more interviews. If you guys know of someone I should talk to, if you're friends with a champion, or if you know someone that you think should be on the front page, then let me know.
I don't know why I find that. If you're friends with a champion,
yeah. If you're the champion, you can't recommend yourself.
Yes.
That's a little
no. It's if you're a champion, let us know, because we want to talk to you.
All right. I guess we'll talk to you. Cool. What else do we have then? We've got some other events coming up. We want to make sure everyone's heard about our Blaster event.
Yes, that is coming up. Super excited for this. We were very fortunate enough. Jeremy Fox of Prince Arcades tracked down another rare title.
He comes through again.
He does. I know it used to be every week he was bringing us something.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is getting pretty difficult.
Well, the ones you're looking for are like holy grails almost. That's all we really need in this place anymore.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
This makes his job harder.
Yeah. This was another one. He hadn't really heard of it. I didn't even know the whole history of it. It was like I was aware of it and was like, yeah, like knew of it, but didn't know how rare it was.
And wasn't it in an article like the top 15 rarest?
Yeah. I'll
link that article in the show notes.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
And then
the Roth blog had done it, and it was like, wow, that's...
Yeah.
He had said the name of it, and he's like, you interested in a blaster? I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. And
very casually.
Well, it was just kind of like, yeah, it's like, that. I know that's rare, like, yeah. bring it on over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the wooden cabinet, which was... There's the sit-down Sinistar-style cockpit version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which super rare. There's the Duramold, which usually Duramolds are... I've seen...
What does that mean? I'm not initiated in...
The Duramold is a giant plastic cabinet.
So it's like what it sounds like. It comes out of a mold.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is a plastic molded cabinet. And it was... They did a few games in it. I believe Sinistar and Bubbles. Bubbles is like a really highly sought after Duramold cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And then Blaster.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, it's the wood one. I was like, yeah, I would assume that the Duramold is more rare just because that's how it is with the other ones. And, not the case in this.
Yeah.
And it turned into, it's really, really, really rare.
Yeah.
There's 20 on KLOV, which is a great resource for finding out information on cabinets. There's 26 blaster cabinets out there. 25 of them are Duramolds.
Yes.
And there's one super collector that has a wooden one.
Who probably will never sell it.
No. Yeah. It's great guy who owns it. I won't give his name here, but he definitely very welcome to chime in. Mm-hmm. Great collector, amazing collection. Super nice guy. Has helped us out in several times with stuff that we've needed. So,
cool.
But yeah. So on Saturday the 18th, we're going to be releasing Blaster through the arcade floor. But we're going to be having none other than Eugene Jarvis out.
Legend.
The legend.
Yeah.
Tell us all the stories about when he was working on it. Him and Larry DeMar worked on it. We had invited Larry. Larry's been here many times,
yes.
And unfortunately he can't make it. But Eugene will be here. So,
yeah, that game, I think our regulars are going to eat that up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It's they mentioned the last human family.
From Robotron. Yeah.
They're not around anymore. They're not around in 2085.
So we know when our goose is cooked.
Maybe. But yeah, it's an early attempt at 3D and such a cool game.
Cool. And then it's 1 o'clock on the 18th?
1 o'clock on the 18th. We will be unveiling the wooden blaster cabinet.
Okay.
Original, dedicated. It's amazing condition. Eugene Jarvis is here. Jeremy Fox will be here.
definitely stop in if you can make it in.
Yeah, it'll be really cool. Really cool.
Awesome. And also next week, we wanted to remind everyone that our shmup event starts on Monday.
Yes.
This is going to be a good week.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very good week. Starting on Monday, there's going to be, like we said, there's going to be a mystery game unveiled right at open. And then we're going to release a list of all 10 games for the shmups event. And I wonder who's going to win the shmups event.
Do you even know what I have picked for the...
mystery game?
Mystery game?
I think I do. I might not. It might be a mystery to me.
It might very well be. I don't even know if I know 100% yet. But it'll be good.
I know that there's a lot of shmups that I want to see that I know is on the list in the vaults.
Yeah.
I've seen the list. There's also 9 more games besides the mystery game, so shmuppers, come on in. Even if you're not a shmupper.
What if there's more than one new game?
Oh. That's happened before. We've been known to pull tricks like that. Misdirection tricks, everything.
Yeah.
Fake
lists. We gotta do what we gotta do.
Yeah.
Keep these guys short.
Yeah. So, shmups, I think, get a bad rap as being too hard to get into and kind of an inclusive genre, but I kind of want to welcome everyone out to this event. Like, I'm going to purposely pick games that aren't, you have to be a master playing them for 2 years to even put up a decent score. Like, I want people to get into these games because they're great games. A lot of these games, they can be that, but they don't have to be.
Sure, for sure.
So I want to make sure that everyone knows that I'm not going to pick the toughest of the tough. So make sure to come out. Even if you don't do well, who cares? Talk to your fellow gamers. Play some games you never played before. See if maybe they'll give you hints if you're trying to improve. But if you're not, no worries. Just hang out.
Yep. Definitely be a good one.
Yep. I think so, too. We'll see if Matis can get another tournament win. He didn't sound very confident last time I talked to him. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to win another tournament. This next one's not going to be my tournament, I don't think. So we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right. So what else do we have?
We have NJ GamerCon coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's July 23rd and 24th out in New Jersey.
NJ. So is Productions going
to
be there?
Yeah, we will definitely be there in full force with Productions. We will have Dark Presence.
Will it be in the Spook or in the original?
It'll be in its full cabinet.
Cool.
Probably going to be bringing Fish in a Barrel.
Cool.
Shout
outs to Brandon.
Brandon Diaz has been working hard at work on that. We're hitting a little bit of a hardware issue, but he's the one to solve that.
Cool.
So definitely looking forward to that. We're bringing currently it's so funny anytime we go anywhere. It's like
we're not bringing any actual games to put on the floor there though, right?
I don't even know yet.
Okay.
I'm still talking with Jerry on that to see what he wants us to bring.
Okay.
Actually, I was not too... We've had a huge change in Dark Presence. Huge shout-outs to Sunk Delgado for making some solid Dark Presence changes. And I know we always are saying that big announcements on Dark Presence soon, but everybody here is working really hard on it, and we cannot wait to show stuff.
Will there be new content at NJ GamerCon?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
We had hit another roadblock, but now that has kind of been taken care of. So.
All right, excellent. Thank you to Sunk.
Yep. And then also, Brian Cullen will be coming with us.
Oh, nice.
Legendary creator of Rampage and Xenophobe and so many great Bally Midway games.
Yeah.
He'll be with us showing off Raiders Run that we are working on collaboratively.
Yeah, that was first on display at Midwest Gaming Classic. If you missed that, they'll be showing it again.
Yes. So. And also Jeff Lee, legendary Cuber creator,
yes,
is going to be coming with us. And we've got... I can't even give it away yet. There's... When we released Argus, some really cool stuff happened. And we have not even really covered the Argus event yet.
Right.
We haven't made a big Facebook post about it. So that is going to be coming up because another huge Gottlieb thing is coming up.
Cool.
So we're very anxious to discuss that and show that off.
Any hints? Or can't really give it away?
We just had some... There's so much behind-the-scenes stuff. It seems like we're always talking about stuff on Facebook. But, you know, in all honesty, that's just barely the tip of the iceberg of what's going on here.
Right. I mean, we can't really share stuff until it's official and all this other stuff.
Right.
You know, there's agreements that have to remain silent until the right moment. But.
Yeah. Even for this, and I should mention, not next week, but the following week, there's a documentary that is going to be being filmed here.
Yes.
And I believe they are coming in on the 20th, and they will be filming on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And they're going to be looking for cool content, and this is a pretty major documentary, it seems. I don't even have... there's not even full disclosure on things to me.
Yeah.
So, but this is a very pro thing that's going on. So, definitely, if you have some gaming skills you want to show off, that's a good time to come in and showcase what you can do.
Oh, what were those days again?
What's that?
What's the date on those?
It's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay.
I believe they arrive on the 20th, but they're going to be filming the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd.
Cool.
But we'll be doing some really cool Gottlieb announcements. New game announcements. So stay tuned for that. Cool. But yeah, Jeff will be coming out to New Jersey GamerCon with us. And we should be showing that off as well, I believe.
Okay.
And Jeff's been in here.
He was just here today.
Don't forget, those guys, both Brian and Jeff have artwork here.
Yes.
For like all the games that they've done. Like Jeff has... some really cool Qbert artwork.
Like the variants.
Qbert characters.
Those are cool.
We haven't even made the Facebook post about that. There's a second set of Qbert artwork that he's done. And those are... We sold out of a few of them at MGC.
Yeah, those went quick.
Yeah.
People love them.
Yeah. But get those at the front counter. Brian Colon has his artwork from Rampage and stuff up at the counter. So don't forget to do that.
Cool.
Also going to NJ GamerCon, Daniel Piscina.
Is he?
Master Piscina. Go to masterpiscina.com.
Get over there.
Get over there. he played Johnny Cage, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Reptile. He's been hanging out here too a bit, and how awesome is that?
Yeah.
He's like, what are some of the shows you're going to? And I'm like, oh, we're going to NJ GamerCon. He's like, I'm going to go with you guys.
That's cool.
Like, so that is going to be an awesome weekend.
When Johnny Cage wants to go with you, you don't say no. Or your head's getting up or cut it off.
Going to be an amazing weekend. Come hang out with us in New Jersey.
Cool. All right. We'll post up when we have more info on that.
Yes. Another person got an email from Walter Day.
Cool.
The other day. He is still working with Guinness. To get most people playing arcade games at any given time.
As a world record?
As a world record in a traditional arcade. And I think that's where the kind of the hang-up is, where it's... Because there's conventions and stuff that happen where there's a lot of people playing, but in a traditional arcade that's open.
Like a business.
That's a open, business,
that's,
yeah.
That's standing there 365.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Different.
So,
well, thank you, Walter. We appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can't wait for Walter to come back out.
Yeah, he'll be in town pretty soon, actually, next month.
Yep. Hopefully we'll have him out, and I know T20 coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get him back out here for that.
Yep. Which, just as a reminder, the dates are October 6th through October 9th.
Yes.
Pre-registration is going live soon, I'm hearing?
Yes. It's in place. We're doing some tests right now, and... that should be going, and cannot wait for T20.
Cool.
It was so much fun last year. Might be doing a belt for that, actually.
That'd be cool.
Thinking about it. We'll see if there's a T20 belt.
Okay. Nice. All right. Cool. So that's all of our announcements. We have a few Facebook topics to cover, though.
Yeah, let's jump into those.
Okay. So Steve and Lucas had a couple questions. First one, what is the most played and least played game on the arcade floor? Not necessarily the games with the most recorded scores.
It's the most played game and the least played game.
Recently, it's been Darius Burst and Other Chronicle.
Yeah,
everyone's on that game.
Such a hard question to answer. Like, there's literally nothing here that doesn't get played.
Yeah.
And it's been that way since the day we opened. Even games that are not, like, top A, triple A titles, everything gets played here.
Yeah, there's that one guy that's like, I can't believe you have this game, and he sits on it for hours.
Right.
You know, because he can't find it anywhere else.
And there's definitely games where, like, The Grid...
That's always being played.
Always being played. Now Darius... usually... It goes in such bursts. It's like whatever's
Darius
new.
Bursts.
Ooh,
sorry.
That
we'll edit that.
That
out.
Might that, that might have just cost you Gamer of the Year.
Oh, that's no.
The but yes, Darius bursts if you must.
Okay.
Whatever the newest game is obviously always getting played.
Yes.
Amongst the regulars, like there's so many new things going up. They can't even get the games that they want to play.
Yeah.
The casuals, it's definitely different because they're here and they don't know what's new necessarily.
Surprisingly, unless we tell them, a lot of people don't know, like, Primal Rage 2, this is the only place you can play it.
Right.
I think otherwise people would be jumping on that.
Absolutely.
I think it has to do also with, like, some of the regulars, like, they know the stuff that's rare and they can play it any time, so they don't have to get on it.
Right.
They just figure, oh, I'll get to it later when I when I'm done getting
right.
the score.
I need to get this score yeah. now.
Yes. Or else James is gonna, you know, have the score, you know.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
Well, and it's always interesting what keeps them away from playing, because is it new games? Is it like Walters, DeHart, and Tibbetts are playing Don Patchy mm-hmm. now. So it's like because of that, like Walters isn't playing the end.
Right.
And it's like, it's hard for them to divide their time.
Right. Unfortunately, there's only so many hours to game.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But,
So you don't think there's a least played game?
I couldn't
specify.
Like, there's yeah. stuff that I know...
You know what gets a ton of play, though, is Donkey Kong.
Since the score was set, the amount of play on Donkey Kong has just shot through the roof.
There's almost always someone on it.
Now, yeah. There was a big... long, I think the world record changing hands is it's really sparked people's interest, and you see people that are playing it for the first time
still and that world record is the new one West Copeland has is nearly unbeatable. Mathematically they're saying it's not going to be much more, if at all.
Yeah
So that's it's crazy, but yeah, people
I
still
guess
love
if it would happen, it would happen on the hard board set though. Cool. That'll have to be the next step if they want to
challenge themselves.
If they want to keep pushing it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's as far as games that are played the least, there's stuff that, like, some of the regulars just don't enjoy.
That I think has learning curves that, like, or language barrier things, like Chocobator. People see, oh, it's Japanese, oh, I'm not going to get on that.
Well,
but once we show them, then they get into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Chocobator, the people that spend the time to get into it, they're usually
they're
there for
it.
A while.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that the right, like Frontline, I know a lot of the regulars aren't into it, but it's something weird that there's so many people that just remember the game that are on it.
Yeah.
So it's there's definitely right now I'd say The Grid,
Donkey Kong, Darius Burst. Those are the top played games
Blitz,
right now. Blitz was always being played, that's true. Especially Saturday nights.
Yeah. Rampage, Qbert.
Rampage is great with families.
Yeah.
People come in and love to go to that one. People love to go to Ninja Turtles all the time with their
Ninja
families.
Ninja Turtles, Simpsons.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Any of the Konami
already,
4-player beat-em-ups.
It's like, think of the Rose, and it's like, oh yeah, there's these people that play that. Forgotten Worlds, Splatterhouse, Altered Beast, Golden Axe. It's like...
Golden Axe is probably the most, like, people walk in, they say, oh, you guys have Golden Axe, or you guys have
Altered Beast. Yeah.
It's one of those two games.
Yeah.
People see that in the front row, and they're like, oh, I have to play that.
Sega. Power of Sega.
Power of Sega. Cool. All right. On to the next question. Steven Lucas's second question was, with the recent imports of arcade games from Japan never released in America, are arcade distributors too reluctant to release games in America because of how they see the state of arcades in recent years?
You know,
It's a shame. Like, Street Fighter V not coming out in the arcade is a shame.
That is... the whole industry really, really, really frustrates me on so many levels. Like, there's more and more arcades opening, and what...
it's a slap in the face to not put
really
that out.
It really is. Yeah. Capcom, I read that after 4 came out, they're like, yeah, we don't really have a big interest in revitalizing the U.S. market. And, like, that's like, okay, maybe you don't know what's going on here. Like, there's arcades popping up everywhere, and they need new games.
Yeah.
But then for the not even come out in Japan.
Yeah, that's strange.
That's strange.
Because and there's still other new games coming out in Japan. Like, Tekken 7 is coming out in Japan. Like, there's other companies still doing it.
For sure.
Yeah.
But, and there's... Look at how... I think the old way that games came out. There's an arcade version, and then there's a console version.
Yeah.
I think... That lets people get used to it. It builds, like, the pro player scene. I honestly question whether this industry understands how it works sometimes.
Yeah. The pros get into it in the arcade, and then when it comes out on console, the masses get to it, and then it joins together.
Right.
And then you have a massive scene.
Yeah. And the casuals do play it. Like, Street Fighter sold fine in Japan.
Yeah.
And there were so many people trying to bring it here. And it's so difficult to get games from Japan, and when they don't regionalize them, it creates a new problem. But you gotta give, like, huge shout outs to, like, Raw Thrills and Play Mechanics, yeah. Which, again, it's George Petro and Eugene Jarvis. Like, they've been in the industry forever.
And they're still going.
They're still going. They're making, they get solid IPs, and they put out games that...
Like, Terminator was one of theirs, right?
Salvation,
yeah.
The Aliens,
yeah.
The Fast and Furious series, like... Their games are, and obviously Big Buck Hunter, and
yeah.
It's like they're keeping the arcade scene alive.
Yeah.
I think the industry can grow here. I think it's time. Like, you see Griffin Aerotech putting out Sky Cursor.
Yeah.
We have stuff. There's several other indie companies. And, like, Killer Queen got picked up by...
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
Like, that's what the industry needs. It's the time that stuff needs to go back. And, you know, there's a whole podcast. I think there's a lot of misconception with what happened to the arcades.
There is. There's a lot of misinformation going around, too.
There is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, honestly, I think that will be our next podcast. We'll be... We'll talk about what happened to the arcade industry and state... of arcades now and some misconceptions, and I think that would be a really cool podcast. So
yeah, we'll definitely talk about that in the
awesome.
Future then.
Awesome.
Duke HugDD asks, what's the next phase in the expansion?
It's been a little bit slow moving. We are getting the fourth building. We have to set up a place for productions to go to.
Fourth building, if you don't know, that's just to the right of where our current offices are.
Yes. Most people don't realize that there's a fourth building there.
Yes. There's more.
It is big. It's coming along.
It's like its whole old storefront, like, in itself.
Yeah. We will be doubling in size.
Yes.
We will be breaking 1,000 games here.
If we want.
Well, and even if we emptied the vaults, that's only like 130 games.
Yeah.
And
so people need to make more arcade games so we can fill it.
Yeah, how about it?
Yeah.
It's coming along. We hope to have I have to have a couple more talks with the landlord. Again, and huge shout outs to Duke Dang and Dan Icavelli for always mentioning our fundraiser. We really need the support to help cover the cost of the expansion because it is massive. It is, even though we get so many people here to the arcade, all that money pretty much just goes right back in to the arcade to do all our repairs, and it's really helped with all of the expansions so far. And we've done, what, 5 expansions?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to keep it going. So please, if you can, check out our fundraiser page, GallopingGhostArcade.com/fundraiser. We still have our fundraiser box up at the front counter. Give whatever you can. Every dollar really helps and counts, and it's much appreciated. And keeps us growing and putting all the games that we don't want to see disappear. You know that blaster cabinet?
Yeah.
That the person that Jeremy bought it from,
I heard,
was going to turn it into a MAME.
A multicade.
A multicade, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Like, that would have been a travesty.
That would have been unfortunate.
Yeah.
But
instead it's on the floor for the world to enjoy now.
Yeah.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. 18th.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah. Look for more expansion news when we have it.
Yes. Soon. Soon.
Soon. Fred DeHart asks, what happened to pinball?
What happened to pinball? We are actually down to 3 pinball machines.
Currently.
We're up to 9 at one point. Currently we have Creature from the Black Lagoon, Twilight Zone, and Funhouse. The problem with pinball, and we've said this many times, it is so difficult to make pinball work here on free play. Just because everybody loves pinball, but it's...
Not everyone knows how to treat them.
Not everybody knows how to treat pinball.
Yeah.
But even if you're playing it properly...
Yeah, it still requires a lot of maintenance.
It's still so much maintenance. And even with the 3... I was cleaning the machines twice a week at one point. And my schedule's so full that I can't clean them that often. And there's... Like, a rubber will break and... like a slingshot or anything, a solenoid will break, and we change them out. And huge shout outs to Ken Walker, who works so hard and is very
usually
diligent.
Here once a week, yeah.
Yeah. But it is just a tremendous amount of work. And one of the main things that we wanted here, and when we were opening up the Galloping Ghost Arcade, we want to do everything well. And there was always a handful of pins down. And that's not doing pinball well. It's you walk in and there's 6 pins and 3 are down, or there's 9 pins and 5 or 6 are down, and it just wasn't manageable. And I love pinball a lot, and I love that we have the 3 that we have, easily the most reliable, and it's always personal preference, but those are 3 really solid, really highly sought after pins.
Yeah.
Like the last one we pulled off the floor was Freddy. We were lucky to keep that running for a day.
Yeah.
And
sorry, Freddy.
Sorry, Freddy. Like, we have it in storage.
Yeah.
We've got a few in storage still. But until we find a way to do it, like, the free play model just does not work well with pins because it's just so much wear and tear.
Didn't Ken say that the amount of plays this gets is like a year at another place?
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
He's like, less than a month here is equal to more than a year somewhere else.
Yeah, and that kind of, I mean, it's not really abuse, but that just kind of use.
Yeah.
Is too hard on the machines.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. And even we've bulletproofed everything. It's like Funhouse. We're looking at... Ken hit me up the other day, and he's like, oh, I'd like to pull that off the floor and do a full restore on it because the Mylar's getting shot, and it's like, how long is it going to be down for? He's like, it'll take him about 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $1,000 in cost.
Yeah.
And it's like, how long will that last? A couple, like, 2 years?
Yeah.
3 right. years?
Right.
The amount of people that we have coming here on a weekly basis, our numbers keep going up and up and up. But that does mean maintenance goes up and up and up.
Right.
And same thing, the more and more games, everything has to get fixed. And pinball, again, hopefully we can get in front of it after the next expansion and find a better way to handle it. But
I hear a lot of people recommending charge people for pinball. You're never going to do that, are you?
It's been recommended. It has been.
People have told us to charge more.
It's surprising. It's literally once a week I will get at least one person, usually more, that come up to me and be like, how can you do this?
How is this feasible type thing?
How is this feasible for only $15? It's like such a value. Yeah. And it's like, that makes me so, makes me feel good. And it's like, wow, I'm glad that we're able to provide something that's affordable to everybody.
Right.
I don't know if anybody would be opposed to us raising the price.
Yeah, we haven't yet, though, in all the years we've been open.
Never in 6 years.
Yeah.
Now, we want to keep it the price, but just as just for information's sake, let us know.
Yeah, what would you think? Yeah.
Yeah. What would you think if the rates went up here? Could you accept it? What if there was different sections that had separate admissions?
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Wow. Just throwing out ideas. So to our regulars, please let us know.
Yeah, respond in the comments.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. The final question from our Facebook questions. Mike Beale asks, what is or are your unexpected favorite genre of games or titles you've discovered after opening the arcade or after coming to the arcade? Well, you know all these games already, don't you?
That's honestly, and I say this all the time, it's kind of the one selfish thing to the arcade for me, is that if I don't like the game, I don't want to see it here.
Yeah.
And I walk up and down the aisles, and before everything's turned on,
you're like a curator at a museum. Like, it's all pieces you like, right? Like an art gallery. It's like all stuff you would choose to have there.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, I can't wait to play. I wish I had more time to play everything here.
Yeah.
It makes me want to do like John Haruza doing the marathon. It's like, man, I would love it. I love finding new games, and this place has pushed me to find new games. Out Foxy's was one of the earlier ones that I stumbled on. I was like, man, that's so cool. Yuchuyu Daisuku-san Chokovera Contactee would be another one. I see stuff that I don't realize or I don't recognize. And it's like, it makes me explore. I'm constantly searching for new games. Even earlier today, I had one of my friends out at the arcade, and he was playing Lunar Lander.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it was back in the 80s. It was like me and him have been going to arcades since then.
Cool.
And it was like, I'm like, hey, stop playing Lunar Lander. Come check out Crater Raider. Mm-hmm. I had never played this until I saw the cabinet. I thought the cabinet was cool. I did a bunch of research on it and was like, wow, what an amazing game. I wish I saw this back in the day. And he's playing it for half an hour, and he's like, yeah, this is amazing.
It is. That game's sound is very good. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything on that game. But
it's pretty cool.
There's so many stories behind so many games here. As far as favorite genres, I love all genres.
I don't see you getting into classics as much as some of the players here. I'm the same way, though. This is not an accusation.
I love the classics. Like, I am a little bit more just with and it's more of a scoring thing. Like, I can't score like some of the players here.
If you could score really well on Galaga, would you sit there and rack up a 5 million score?
A Galaga, you know, honestly, like, I love Galaga.
Yeah.
Like those scores.
It is pronounced Galaga.
I can't. It's kind of the frustrating thing, like Asteroids.
Yeah.
That was the first... I flipped the scoreboard on Asteroids
mm-hmm.
on Atari 2600.
Mm-hmm.
Love Asteroids. I really want to get into those, but I know the time commitment it takes.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's like even Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Like, how much I didn't play a lot of MK9 just because I wanted to so badly, but... It's just a time management thing. It's like I can't put playing in front of fixing and handling stuff, even right. though I want to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, usually I try to mix it up, and, like, I was playing a chunk of Lunar Lander today. I was, had a pretty long game of Ms. Pac-Man Turbo recently.
Nice.
Paperboy. It's like, I love the classics. It's just, it's hard to devote the time to put in ridiculous scores.
Yeah, those require, like, a lot of time to just scratch the surface.
Yeah.
But I think I'm the same. I mean, before I came here, I was mostly just into fighting games.
Yeah.
I liked beat 'em ups. I wasn't that good at them. I really was not that good at shmups, and I really come to love my horizontal shmups.
Sure, sure.
And that didn't really start until I got here that I realized I could do good at them.
Yeah.
And now I love them. I absolutely love, like, the yeah. Konami, like, Gradius Nemesis, Salamander 2, like... They're some of my favorite games.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would have ever played them if I hadn't come here.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing I did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now you're an amazing shmup player. Like, you're sure. Yeah. Well, you've got quite a few
scores. Yeah.
World records there, mm-hmm. and it's yeah. It's I don't think that. Like, what would you think is, do you have any other genres that you were like, man, I wish I had time to
spend? I wish I was better at Tetris. I mean, that's yeah. that's his own thing. I mean, block seed, Tetris, you know, columns, whatever, that type of puzzle, like drop falling puzzle, I wish I could be better at those.
Yeah.
I think that's two things working against me. Like, I don't see things lining up vertically very well at all.
Yeah.
And, like, I and puzzle games in general I'm just not good at, but if I could devote time into a game, I think it would be that.
Yeah.
But I think it's very cool. The skill in that is very apparent. When someone's good at that game, you just can stare and be like, you know, like, it's it's an amazing thing to watch someone that's really good at Tetris.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, yeah. A great question. It's and let us know. Like, what are some of the games that you've found here? Because, you know, that's a huge thing for me for finding new games is, like, I know I've had so many people come up to me and be like, wow, Outfoxes is one of my favorite games. Or just there's so many.
Yeah.
Like,
like, I can't believe you have Ninja Baseball Batman.
Well, and that's not, like, that's one that people heard of. The Angry Video Game Nerd yeah. did brought that to the forefront.
Yeah.
And that was one that I think there was a bunch of misinformation about that one
yeah.
put out there. Like, it's rare. It's definitely
rare. It was distributed in the U.S., though.
Yeah.
It was.
It's not, like, I'd never seen it in an arcade, but it's certainly not the most difficult game. There's a lot of bootleg boards yes. out there, and ours is an original.
It's easy to tell. There's a big 2 on the bootlegs, like,
yes.
a big number 2 and, like, dotted dots across the title screen.
Yeah.
I've seen those.
So, but yeah, it's, a lot of people ask if that one, same thing like Primal Rage 2, but it's something when a game resonates with somebody for so long, and they're like, man, that became my favorite game.
Mm.
And it's cool for us here when we hear that. Like, when you were saying, like, wow, I'm really digging Moon Shuttle. Like, yeah. It's like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I had that's no not, idea. That's not my thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, I would never see myself playing a game from 1981. Or was it 81 or 82? Whatever it was. 81, I think.
81, I believe.
Yeah. There's no way I would have picked myself to play that.
Like, yeah. There's so many cool classics. Like, and that's one of those... I'm hoping you get more into them. That's kind of like your Primal Rage prize.
Yeah.
I think that hopefully I bet you find a bunch that are just like
I have. I really like Sinistar. Like,
yeah.
I finally managed myself to scrape my way up to the card now. Like, I'm on the card,
yeah.
and I'm proud of that. Like, that's not yeah. my cup of tea, but, you know, I'm able to put up a decent score now. Not
yeah.
not like a James score, but it's good.
Yeah.
So it's another one that I'm happy I tried.
Yeah, that's such an awesome game.
Yeah.
So many awesome games.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely tell us in the comments what some of your favorites that you've found here that you've never heard of, and
I'd be interested to know.
You know, like another good one with Pete Gore is when he saw Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an arcade game with this?
Yeah.
It's like,
yep.
Yep.
Then he ended up winning it and
yeah,
getting the score on it. So. That's all we had.
Yeah.
You know, one thing we have to do every time, what are you playing?
What am I playing?
Yeah.
Well, now you have me thinking I'm neglecting classics, so...
So what are you going to play?
I don't know.
Classics are so hard.
It's not... I don't even know. Like, I want to play Darius. I want to play more Left 4 Dead.
Who doesn't want to play Darius? That's the question.
Well, that's, well, now you have to go find something else to play while everybody else is...
Yeah.
I might actually jump on Crater Raider.
Cool.
Or Lunar Lander. I was playing some Kick earlier today.
Yes, I've got that working earlier.
Yeah.
Fine. Like he said you need to relocate the power supply or something, and now it's perfect.
Yeah, it was moving around a bit, so... I don't even know.
Okay.
Like, I want to go put up, like, Robotron. It's like, man...
You got the unofficial sequel
coming? Yeah. It's like Blaster is coming.
Yeah.
Made me want to play...
Play Robotron.
Play Robotron.
I don't know what I want to play.
And Argus.
Yeah. More Gottlieb.
Doug had just fixed a Spy Hunter board.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that music is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's...
I think I'm going to play more Darius. Eventually, I'll get to other games, but I've been playing Darius.
Yeah.
I'll play more...
X Multiply?
Eventually.
Fighter's History?
Yeah, I'll play that. The monitor's down right now, so I can't play it.
Oh, yeah.
When I can, I will.
Yeah. We got to put an order for some parts and get that monitor back up. So hopefully that won't be down too long.
But, yeah, that's probably what I'm going to play next, Darius. And cool. Whatever shmup games are in the tournament.
Are you going to, for the shmups event, are you going to compete alongside?
No, that would not be.
Not compete against, but just kind of be like, hey... This is what I can do.
Look, guys. No. I don't know. Like, I might just see. Like, there's games in there that I would choose to play because that's why I'm picking them. But I might see, like, what I can do, like, just to see how I would have done. I probably won't tell anyone how I did, though. Just to be secret about it.
All right.
Cool. Well, that's all I had.
Cool.
You got anything else?
Probably, but nothing that's popping to mind. I know this one's probably a little bit of a longer podcast.
So. Yeah, sorry if we rambled a bit too much, but yeah. We needed to catch people up on what's been going on. It's been, like I said, over a month.
Yeah.
So we hope you enjoyed listening.
Yep. So until next time, this is Doc Mack and Gamer of the Year Pete Hahn. Thanks so much, and we hope to see you around the arcade soon.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.